Your story is your testimony, not your identity. Shift your mindset, elevate your perspective, become who God called you to be. This is the Journey of You. Welcome to the Journey of You, the place where faith meets growth and where courage rises to rewrite the stories that once tried to define you. I'm your host, Tonya D. Bennis, coach, author, communicator, and a companion on this path of becoming, committed to helping you step fully into your God-given identity. Each week, we slow down long enough to hear what heaven is whispering. Together, we peel back the doubts, the old labels, and the limits that life tried to place on you. Here, you learn to shift your mindset and elevate your perspective so you can walk heart first into purpose, clarity, and the kind of confidence that is birthed from truth, not tension or trauma. This is your invitation to breathe deeper, think higher, and see yourself the way God sees you, loved, called, and full of possibility. So wherever you are, settle in. Your journey is unfolding, and you don't have to walk it alone. Today, I want to talk about some real truths. I just want to preface this, that it's real, raw, and uncut. So if you can't handle that or don't have the capacity for that this morning, then tune in later. But it's real. And I really have a heart for women and helping them to get unstuck from limiting beliefs. And as a woman and a human, I still have limiting beliefs myself. I have learned how to not stay stuck in them as long as I used to. And there are some that I've overcome that are no longer a limiting belief, but there are some that still bother me. And I'm constantly reminding you all that you are loved, you are enough, that you matter, and that you are chosen. Those are things that for me were limiting beliefs, that I didn't feel like I was loved. I didn't feel like I was chosen or accepted. I didn't feel like I was enough. And it was quite a journey. And one of the things that led me to that journey, as you guys already know, of course, was my sister asking me what I like to do for fun and not being able to answer the question, you know, with stuff that was just uniquely mine. But the real, real part of that journey started several years ago when I was in college. And, you know, it was my first real boyfriend. We had been dating since high school, and he was my first everything. And he cheated on me. And it was very hard. And it hurt. And I rolled right out of that relationship into another one with my husband. And the first couple of months that we were married, it was amazing. And it was so wonderful and so exciting. And it was just like all the things that I had imagined. But then things shifted very quickly. At that time, I was only 20, 21, getting ready to turn 22. And I had graduated college the year before and was still trying to figure out, like, me. I mean, who isn't still trying to figure themselves out at that age? Even in your 30s and 40s, you're learning new things about yourself and trying to figure things out. But my work experience didn't match my degree, and I wanted to have something more in line with my degree. And so I put in my 2-week notice. And I just knew that with 6 years of work experience and a degree, I could easily find a new job that would be more of like a Monday through Friday instead of a 7 days a week, you know, restaurant type of role. But everybody and their mom had the same degree as me. And so I didn't find ideally what I wanted, but I did land in administration, which was a strong point for me. And so I had a new job within a couple of weeks. But he felt betrayed. My husband felt betrayed because I didn't ask him first or talk to him about it first. And it wasn't a matter of I got a new job or, you know, that I was still working. He just felt like I betrayed him and that, you know, I was only thinking about me, which was completely not the case. Again, I was 21 trying to figure out my way, and I just was no longer satisfied in the job that I was in. And I wanted freedom in my time. Which that part I did not know literally until the last couple of years that that's what I was searching for back then. God brought it back full circle and connected the dots. But that's what I wanted. I wanted freedom in my time. I did a couple of semesters of Air Force ROTC, was sworn in to the Air Force, and was getting ready to leave for a training camp. And I remembered that I had forgotten like maybe one pair of socks out of all the stuff that we were supposed to bring. Everything else was present. And I remember the drill sergeant being in my face and yelling at me and flipping out. And I was like, it's one pair of socks. And I mean, he was going ballistic. And I understand discipline. I grew up a military brat. So all of that was not necessary for me. And it just kind of solidified that this is not the path I want to take. I don't want anybody to tell me when I have to move or control my time or tell me, to do A, B, or C if it's not what I want to do. And so it was at that point that I made the decision that that was not the route for me. And so it was that same thing when I was like getting up and going to work. And I was just like, you know what? I know that I can do something different. And it's my time. I want to choose how I spend it. And so that was the whole reasoning of me putting in my notice so that I could go after what I really wanted to be doing, which I was still trying to figure out, but I knew that it wasn't that. And that was where I started. I always knew that I'm a think outside the box type of person. I don't fit into a specific mold. And that's what it was for me. I felt like I was being boxed in. I had outgrown where I was at, basically. But I, again, couldn't quite pinpoint it. But because of that, I was still searching for me. It severed something in terms of my husband's viewpoint of me. And so within a year, infidelity started. And I was back in the same boat that I had been in my last relationship. But when you have a covenant and you're married to someone, it hits you and hurts in a very different way than when it was like my high school, college boyfriend. Okay. And, I was pregnant at the time and we, progressed through it or whatever, no counseling or anything. It was like a, season or whatever of an affair with this woman. And then it was like, he moved on. And so I was like, okay, we're moving forward. But then it came a point that we were at our 3-year anniversary at that point that he started to have an affair with another woman. And we actually both ended up pregnant at the same time. And her kids are exactly 6 months apart. She had twins. And when I tell you that that hit in a completely different way, because up until this point, I hadn't said a word to anybody about anything that had happened. But just the thought of her also being a mother of his children and also having, kids with him, that was tough for me. It was like, not only have you shared intimacy with her, but now she's also going to birth children for you. That it made me look at me. Now, I will tell you that I blamed myself for a long time. That I was like, it's my fault. If I would have done this better, if I would have, been a better wife, been a better mom, been a better A, B, or C, that it wouldn't have happened. And so I tried to really overcompensate and be better at all of those things. But when a person chooses to cheat, that's something within them. That's a choice that they make. It is not a reflection of you. So I just want to say that I want to put that out there, that it's not a reflection of you. Oftentimes they don't love themselves and they have their own voids and emptiness that they're trying to fill that truthfully only God can fill, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And sometimes they may even have an addiction, and that's not a reflection of you. So I want you to hear me in that. It is not a reflection of you, even though it feels like it, and you want to take on that blame and that guilt, and you're like, oh, if I would have done this or that better, it doesn't matter. If a person makes a choice to do something, they're going to do that regardless. And so I want you to understand that. But for me, it brought a lot of things to light of what is it in me that keeps attracting this type of behavior or that makes me feel like it's okay, or let me sweep it under the rug, or okay, let's, just walk through it instead of addressing it head on. And so I started out on a journey to figure that out. And through counseling, I learned that one, I had a sense of abandonment, a feeling of abandonment, because of my parents. Again, like I said, being in the military, there was a period of time for like 2.5 years that we couldn't live with them. We had to live with my aunt because their job required, 16-hour days for 9-week stretches. Obviously, you can't, have three little kids, 8, 5, and 3 at home during that time. And that seed was planted. It was like the enemy was like, oh yeah, see, you're not chosen. You're not enough. That's why your parents, went, to do work and they left you with somebody else. Not that that was their intent, but that's the way I interpreted it. And so that seed was there. And then, various different things throughout my, childhood on up into my teen years occurred that kept dropping those little seeds or making that seed deeper and deeper in the root to get deeper. And it was like, I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to be chosen. I wanted to be accepted. And so it was like I settled. If this guy came along and was giving me all of this love and attention, speaking my love language, it was like, oh my gosh, he's like the greatest thing ever. But the enemy knows where we're weak. And when we don't know it, that's when he can come right in and use our weaknesses against us. And that's exactly what he did. And so I was like, Lord, help me to fix this because I've been trying to feel it with a man, my boyfriend, and then, my husband. And it was like my identity was wrapped up and tied up in him. Ladies, I have to tell you that your identity cannot be in a man. One, because a man is not perfect, neither are you. So no human can give you your identity because at some point they are going to disappoint you just like you're going to disappoint them because it's inevitable. Like we're born with good and evil in us. There's no way that any one person can give you all the love that you need, can give you all the, adoration and affection, everything that you're looking for, or make you feel accepted or chosen or happy. Happiness is a choice and it must come from within. You cannot find it in another person. Can they add to your happiness? Absolutely. Can the two of you come together and now you're more happy and you're able to walk through life together, in a joint venture? Absolutely. But they cannot be the source of your anything. That is what I'm trying to tell you. And that's what my problem was. I thought that, okay, if I'm a better wife, if I'm constantly catering, to every need and I'm, wearing myself thin, trying to be mom and wife and work and do this and do that, that okay, then he'll love me. If I got to prove that I'm worth loving. Oh my God, Lord Jesus. That is literally what it was. I felt like I needed to prove that I'm worthy of being chosen, not being one of two, but being the only one, that I'm worthy of being in a monogamous relationship, that I'm worthy of being chosen and accepted, where I'm your one and only, and it's the two of us against the world. I felt like I had to prove that I was worth that. But God has helped me to discover that I'm already worth that. He said it in His word. And so it was like reprogramming my mind and shifting my mindset. One of that, even though humans, it doesn't matter if it's a parent, a spouse, a sibling, a child, a friend. Even if a human disappoints you, it doesn't, or they hurt you in any way, or they don't reciprocate the love that you've poured into them, it doesn't mean that you aren't worthy. It doesn't mean that you aren't chosen or accepted or loved or enough. And so, even this morning, as I thought about, I spent the weekend with my family, my extended family. We were celebrating my grandmother's birthday and my cousin and my grandfather as well. We did like a triple birthday surprise celebration because all of them were born in the same month. And it was just incredible. And just to get the hugs and the I love you and it's so good to see you, it just reminded me that in those moments where the enemy's like, you're not loved, you're not loved, of like, not only does God love me so much that he gave his only son, like he literally sacrificed his son so that he could have a relationship with me, so that when he sees me, he doesn't look at the sin or the bad or all the mistakes that I've made. He sees me through the blood of Jesus. And that's what makes me the righteousness of God, because that's what God called me. He called me his heir. I'm his daughter. I'm a daughter of the king, and so are you. So when God looks at you, he looks at you through that lens of the blood covering of Jesus. And so he loves you unconditionally. And there's nothing that can separate you from that. So I'm reminded that nope, I am loved because God loves me. But then even in the physical sense, right here in the natural, to look at all the pictures that we took and, you know, where my uncle went to take a picture with me and he kissed me on my forehead in the picture. And it was just like, I am loved. It may not be by the exact person that I would have liked it to have been, and our relationship didn't look the way that I would have liked it to have looked, but it doesn't mean that I'm not loved, and it doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of love. And so I want to tell you that same thing. There may be that one person that with all your heart, you love them with all of your being, and you wish that they would love you the same or reciprocate it, but they're not reciprocating it. It doesn't mean that you aren't loved. I guarantee you have a friend, a sibling, a child, a parent, an extended family member, other people that love you. And again, God loves you. And so you are loved. So don't let that limiting belief that you are not loved because of one or two people's actions throughout your lifetime make you feel that you're not, because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to plant seeds in you that tell you that you're not loved or you're not enough or you're not accepted, but you are. God loves you. God chose you. God accepted you, and you are enough in him. You have to remember at all time whose you are, and you are God's. You are a child of the Most High God. So there's nothing that anyone can say or do to take that away from you. Your identity is in Christ, and he put value and worth in you when he formed you in your mother's womb. So no matter what things anybody else does or says to you, they can't take that away. Don't give them that power. Don't give them that authority in your life, because they aren't worth that. Nobody else has that power unless you give it to them. You already got the victory. You're fighting from victory, not for victory. You got the victory when Jesus died on the cross. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he told us in his word that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. So every single time that the enemy tries to whisper in your ear, oh, you're not loved, oh, you're not enough, you are. You are enough, and you absolutely are loved. No greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus loved you that much that he gave up his life for you. So no matter how anybody else has treated you, know that Jesus loves you unconditionally. You've got to love yourself as well. Because when you don't love yourself, you allow and accept whatever treatment. For years, I raised those little girls as my own. And for a long time, people didn't even know that they had a different mom. They didn't even know she existed. And I kept thinking that one day my husband's going to open his eyes. And he's going to be like, oh my gosh, like you are amazing. Like we've been through so much and you're still right here, like still rocking with me. You know, the sky's the limit. Let's go. We're about to hit 20 years. And that still has not happened. And I used to carry a lot of shame and guilt of like, shame on me for allowing that to happen for so long. Shame on me for just accepting any kind of treatment. You know, shame on me for not being a better example to my kids of, you know, you can't allow this type of behavior. You shouldn't be watching, you know, him go back and forth. But I had to let that go too, because I also had to learn and grow and get past those limiting beliefs of my own, of knowing that I'm loved and chosen and accepted and enough, that I'm worthy of being treated better than that. And not just accepting any kind of behavior, but I had to learn to love me too. That is not an easy journey, guys, especially when you are carrying so many things from, you know, so many other areas of your life from childhood forward that you've got to work through. And I will say that counseling definitely helped with a lot of that. I journal a lot, just that time with God. The more and more time, I will say in the last couple of years, I've spent more time in solitude where I've just had time to reflect and to talk to God, and to really look at the bigger picture to see like, okay, even in, those moments where I didn't feel like I was where I was supposed to be, God was still using me and still teaching me and stretching me and showing me, you know, as I zoomed out to look at the bigger picture of like, look, I was with you all along. When you did this, I was there. When you did this, I was there. Even when this happened, I was there. Now I want you to take this and use it here to help here and to help with this person, to help that. And it was just like, oh my goodness, God was with me. Even when we make choices that are his permissive will and not his perfect will, God still finds a way to work it out for our good. And that was just so heavy on my mind today of like, man, all those times that I questioned whether or not I'm loved, I completely overlooked the fact that all these other people love me, family, friends, siblings, my kids, God, obviously, first and foremost. And it was like, but all of that was overshadowed because this one person was not loving me in the way that I felt I needed to be loved or reciprocating the love that I was pouring out. So it made me question whether or not anybody loved me. And obviously they did, but I couldn't see it because of the lens that I was looking through. So I had to be able to look in the mirror and learn to love myself, regardless of whether or not anybody else loved me. And obviously they did, but whether anyone else did or not, I had to love me. But I had to learn and respect God's love for me. I've known God a long time. I was raised in the church my whole life. But knowing God and having a relationship with him are two completely different things. And it wasn't until I raised the level of my perspective and started looking up to him that it was like, okay, I could see more clearly and really start to take away all the lens and blurry views that I was looking through, that it was such a narrowed vision or a limiting vision and a limiting belief. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It tells us that in Proverbs 23:7. And I kept thinking, I'm not enough. Well, that's then what I'm exuding on the outside. Well, nope, you aren't enough, because that's what I was exuding. I'm not loved. I'm not chosen. I'm not accepted. But that's the stuff I kept exuding. So that's also the behavior I kept attracting. Oh God. Oh my God. You are blowing my mind right now. Wow. That is powerful. It is so important that you know who you are. It is so important that you know who God says that you are, so that you can see yourself the way that God sees you. That is the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill your purpose and the assignment that God has given you and make your dash count. You have to see yourself that way, because until you do, you're going to stay stuck in those limiting beliefs. I was stuck in them for over 2 decades, guys, trying to figure out, well, who is Tonya and what does she stand for? You know, why am I valuable? How am I valuable? But my value and worth and my identity came from Christ, not in my husband, not in my boyfriend, not in any of the other situations that I've experienced in my life. That is not a reflection of who I am. We're going to go through trials and tribulations and things are going to happen, but it doesn't take away our value and worth and who we are at our core. Does it add to our story? Yes. Do we have scars, sometimes emotional, sometimes physical, sometimes mental? Absolutely. But scars are proof that you've gone through something and you came out on the other side. Guess what? If you're listening to this podcast right now, you are still standing. You're still here. That means you are victorious. You are still winning. Every single day that you wake up and you have that gift of life, it's an opportunity for you to take your story, to share it with somebody else, and to help give them hope to keep going, the hope to fight, to keep moving forward, that yes, it might be rough right now in this moment, but take a deep breath and let's keep going. You don't know yet when it's going to end or what the other side is going to look like, but you're trusting God that he's going to bring you through and you're going to come out stronger and more refined and even shinier than you were before. Stop letting other people dim your light. God called you and he gave you a purpose, whether you went through abuse, molestation, whether you had great loss, no matter what you've gone through, somebody else has gone through it too. And your story is going to give them hope and give them light. You are not the only one that has gone through what you've gone through. I assure you, it may feel like it. You may have gone through it differently than someone else, but somebody else has also experienced it. But the two of you can't connect and help each other, or you can't help them or them help you until you open your mouth and talk about it. Everything that happens in the dark comes to light. Some of those things we've got to bring to light. We've got to be able to talk about it. You shouldn't be shamed. It wasn't your fault. You shouldn't feel guilty. You did nothing wrong. Are there areas we can all do better in? Absolutely. But when somebody else makes a choice and the consequences of it affect you, that's not on you. What is on you is how you respond and what you decide to do next. And that's completely between you and God. You've got to give forgiveness because God forgave us. Again, none of us are perfect. We all do something wrong every single day. So we've got to be able to extend forgiveness. And extending that forgiveness helps us to release. Understanding helps us to forgive. So find understanding, because that person that hurt you or did something to you also has a story, and there's something that they've gone through too. You are the person who got, you know, the brunt of whatever their decision was or that they lashed out at, but they were hurting too, and there's something they went through as well. And so finding that understanding, not that you have to forget, not that you have to have any further interaction with them, but just finding that understanding, because you would want somebody to have understanding for you as well. You can still love from a distance, but I need you to know that you've got to love God, then love yourself, then love others. It's three different places in the Bible that God teaches us that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's God telling us to love him first and foremost above anything else, then to love ourselves, because we've got to love ourselves just like God loves us. And then from there, we can love others. Because if you don't love yourself, there's only so much you can pour out before you're going to run empty. And you can't pour from an empty vessel. So you've got to love yourself enough to have boundaries in place to, one, not allow people to treat you however they want to treat you, and two, to know when to cut things off and to walk away for your own sanity, and so that you can become all that God created you to be, and you can stop those limiting beliefs that the enemy keeps trying to get you walking around that circle of the wilderness or mountain in the wilderness, just like the Israelites. 40 years. I mean, they literally could have reached out and touched the promised land. They were right there, but they were blinded. Their viewpoint was blinded. Oh, it was better when we were in Egypt. It was better when we were slaves. But they were right there. And so they had to wait for a whole generation to be killed off, die, before the new generation could then walk into the promised land, because they had fresh eyes. They remembered that God fed them manna and he dropped quail from heaven. He made sure they ate every single day. His grace is sufficient for the day. And so he gave them exactly what they needed for that day. And he said, don't save any of it. It won't be any good tomorrow. It'll be spoiled. And then the next day they woke up and he provided for them yet again. That is the same thing. God can fill every empty void that you have. Whatever your limiting beliefs are, they may be different than mine. Whatever they are, God can fill those voids in a way that no human ever will be able to. Food won't be able to. Addiction won't be able to. Sex, drugs, alcohol, nothing else can fill those voids. But God can. And so today, I want you to reach for him. Ask him to remove those limiting beliefs and help you to get unstuck from the places that you've been stuck in for far too long. It's a brand new day. The enemy you see today, you don't have to see anymore. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loyalty and your unconditional love. Thank you, Father, that you loved us enough to send your son to die for us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that at all times you are with us, that we can be strong and of good courage because you are with us wherever we go, just like you tell us in Joshua 1:9. Thank you that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil, Lord, because you are right there with us, just like you tell us in Psalm 23. I pray over each and every person that is listening to this podcast today, Lord, that you reveal to them what limiting belief is keeping them stuck. Help them to give it to you, Lord, to entrust you, Father, with their life, with every part of their being, to love you with all of their mind, heart, body, soul, and strength, and to know that with you as the center of their world, their foundation is solid. You are their anchor. They can do anything. They can overcome anything because you are right there walking with them. Help them to know that they're not alone, Father, and that they have a major purpose and assignment on their life that you've called them to, and you want them to get unstuck so that they can run the race that you have set before them, Father, and make their dash count. So we thank you, Father, that today you're going to give them freedom, Father, that they're going to be set free, that they're going to start the journey to be whole, Father, and that they can do and accomplish everything that you've called them to do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you are feeling stuck and you want to get unstuck right now, there are two different ways you can do it. One, you can head to www.thejourneyofyou.net/get-unstuck. Download the first 5 steps that you can take right now to start shifting your mindset and get unstuck. Two, if you just want to talk, like literally right now, pick up the phone and call 678-310-4357. Again, that's 678-310-4357. I'd love to talk with you right now. Remember, this is your journey. It's where your life begins.
Thanks for being here on the Journey of You. If this episode blessed you, take a moment to connect with me, whether through email, Substack, or the contact page at tonyzbenis.com. I'd love to walk alongside you with encouragement and truth for your journey. Until we meet again, stay rooted in faith, anchored in purpose, and bold in who you are becoming.